talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land out there. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. What a beautiful day out there. It's a little breezy, but it sure feels nice. Fall has arrived, and it's just nice out there. That's all there is. Currently, right now, we have 79 degrees. Dew point is 37, humidity is 22, winds are out of the south-southwest at 17 miles an hour with gusts up to 23 miles an hour. Later on in the show, I'll give you the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger towards the end of the show, and we've just got it going on. Today, here in my next segment, I am going to have Professor Dale Blasi from the K-State University. He's a beef nutritionist. He'll be on with me for segment 2 and 3 of the show. So don't go anywhere. He's really good at what he does. So it'd be a great conversation with him. But I want to remind everybody, announced it yesterday. I'm going to announce it again today. The Elk City Rotary Club is having its beef sweepstakes. Tickets are 1 for $25 or 5 for $100. That's a bargain, 5 for $100. Grand prize will be a side of beef and a freezer. Second and third prize will be a quarter beef each. And the drawing will be December 11th at 8 o'clock, Christmas in the Park. So you don't have to be present to win. So contact any Elk City Rotarian or message our Facebook for tickets on the Rotary Club, or you can stop by the station during normal business hours, and we'll hook you up with tickets here. So that's a pretty good prize, side of beef and a freezer. That's a couple thousand dollars minimum. So, but there's there's all kinds of stuff going on. State Conservation sent out an email yesterday, and as their physical year is winding down, their field staff has been hard at work finishing up the Conservation Stewardship Program, CSP, and focusing on the CRP program, the Conservation Reserve Program, in several counties as well, while they are providing technical assistance as needed. Now that they start to enter the last quarter of the year, it is wise to start to think about getting those program payments in this calendar year or next. Please visit, they said, with your local office if you're going to want your program payment in this calendar year. The cutoff date will be announced soon to field offices to allow time for the staff to process these payments. Beginning farmer meetings will be happening across the state with the cooperation of the OSU Extension Service and other state and local entities. Please share with neighbors and friends if you hear or plan to participate in these events. Racial justice and conservation co-op agreements are also available that entitles for 2 years of project that expand the delivery of conservation assistance to farmers who are beginning, limited resource, socially disadvantaged, and veteran farmers. This opportunity is for nonprofits, tribes, universities, and individuals. And this newsletter, they said there, you can look at a great video showing how farmers are helping other farmers. The NRCS participated in a tour at Elk City at the Upper Creek 23D, as in dog, watershed site, where information was shared with partners and congressional leaders about the importance of watershed program in Oklahoma. As the rains have devastated other parts of the country, it is important to remember how these watersheds work and provide the economic and safety to our communities. And I was sick that day, and they had lots of people out there. Congressman Frank Lucas was there. Agriculture Secretary Blair Arthur was there. And there was all kinds of people there. The head of the State Conservation Group was there. NRCS was there. So there was an article in your NRCS email letter that you got out yesterday. So read it. It was pretty good. And I guess those guys are probably not finished yet, but they're eating lunch over here at the Western Technology Center, where OSU Extension Office, Mr. Zach Henderson, is putting on a deal over there today. So they're in the process and having that. But don't forget, tomorrow, September 24th, Friday, there will be a peanut blasting meeting at the Beckham County Fairgrounds there in Sarah, Oklahoma, from 9:30 to 12. And I'm going to go to that. And I want to see how the peanuts are coming along, because harvest is pretty close to being right around the corner. There's some more stuff coming in out of Washington. One of the news outlets reports that the Biden EPA is expected to release proposed biofuel blending volume mandates tomorrow. The news group said that Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley put the Biden administration on notice that if the 2021 volume level is below the figures of 2020, farmers will remember it at election time. If we get a bad RVO out of EPA, the farmers aren't going to forget it, and they're going to blame President Biden. And from the rumors we are hearing, they could even be worse than what we had under Trump, he said. And it's believed the EPA might consider retroactively lowering the 2020 biofuel mandates that were finalized in December of 2019. The Iowa Center said corn and soybean farmers are anxiously waiting for the EPA news release and will blame Biden if he breaks his campaign promises. As corn growers in the renewable fuels industry awaits that EPA to release those standards tomorrow, the RFS, rumors continue to surface as to what updated numbers may be. On Wednesday, Rutgers released an exclusive story citing documents that showed EPA is mulling significant cuts to the biofuel blending levels. The report outlined the EPA proposal, which would reduce the mandates for 20 and 2021 to about 17.1 billion gallons and about 18.6 billion gallons. They also reported the agency would set the 2022 levels at about 20.8 billion gallons, calling it a win for the oil industry. The Rutgers story, on which EPA wouldn't comment but cautioned the numbers are subject to change, stated the update 2020 levels will be lower than what was finalized for 2020 before the COVID-19 pandemic hit. The news come nearly a month after a Rutgers report claimed that Biden administration was preparing to suggest lowering the renewable fuel volume requirements with the RFS. Citing sources, the news caused grain and oil seed prices to take a nosedive. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack responded by saying, he asked about the subjects, if any rumors, the final EPA numbers will be released Friday, September 24th. Vilsack said that while he didn't know timing, EPA would release the numbers when the agency is ready. I don't know what the numbers will be, he told this reporter. What I do know that it is fair to say that there will be some significant disruptions during 2021 and 21. As that's 2020 and 2021, sorry. As a result of the pandemic, certainty during 20 We saw significant disruptions and the impact that the pandemic had on numbers. And you know, the administrator would know, the EPA would know. By the end of the day, I'm going to look for ways in which the USDA can provide and help assistance. That's why we are prepared to provide $700 million of assistance now and additional resources above and beyond that for infrastructure to expand the capacity to get higher blends out there to consumers. We're going to continue to do what we can as the USDA is going to support this industry. Well, after this break, when we come back, I'll have the good Professor Dale Blasi on here from Kansas State University, and he's going to be talking about a deal I talked about earlier on in the week about how they've been working at the one of their units up there by Manhattan to lower manure coming out of cattle. It's going to be really interesting. So you're listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
We learned in grade school 1 plus 1 equals 2 and 2 plus 2 equals 4. So what does quality feed equal? Results you can be proud of. It's simple math with a little common sense. Barnes Feed Service in Hobart, Oklahoma has done the math and mixed years of common sense into their feeds so you'll get the results you deserve. And remember, their name ends with service, something they take pride in every day. See their ads in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale at Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Register at lmaauction.com or download the LMA Ringside app. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and we do appreciate it.
We truly are a family at First National Bank. When you have a family member that's sick, everyone knows. When something's happened within your family, when you have celebrations, we truly are a family at First National Bank and Trust. We're very proud of the institution that we work for. We're very proud of each other. It is like a family. We call it our bank family. I'm Tammy DeGarmo, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
We raise registered Red Angus. We sell bulls, heifers, seed stock quality type. Red Angus offers superior marbling. Docility is probably the biggest selling point for Red Angus, the maternal traits, and some heat tolerance. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right, welcome back to Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. And weather has changed just maybe a degrees. Is it 80 degrees yet? Did we make it? Nope, it's still 79 degrees. The wind is south out 19 miles an hour, and wind gust up to 26. A little breezy out there, but it is nice. Well, I have on the phone with me right now, I've read some of his articles from that he's written out of from K-State, and Professor Dale Blasi. Did I say that right?
Yes, sir. You sure did, Jimmy.
Yeah, because people around here know I'm not very good at pronouncing a lot of words, especially if they're not just normal. So anyway, but welcome to the show. And again, thanks for joining me today. It's a privilege to have you on here. But tell us a little bit about you. I was reading your bio, and you were born in Southeast Colorado. So tell us just a little bit about you.
Well, yes, Jimmy. I grew up in a small town just outside of Trinidad, Colorado, a little town called Honey. Come off a farm and ranch environment. We still have the ranch located between Trinidad and Lahana, Colorado. Graduated and moved on up to Colorado State, did a couple degrees there, then went on to Nebraska, finished up there, and I've been here at Kansas State almost 32 years. So I'm a little long in the tooth here, being in Kansas.
Oh, yeah. I've been to Trinidad. I haven't been to the Colorado State University, but I lived in Kansas City for on the Kansas side there for a while in Overland Park. And so you know where that's at. And I hunted a lot around Manhattan. And the Big Red One is right there at Fort Riley. So
that's right. They're just located out here about 15 miles west of us.
Yeah, and that's a bad to the bone unit out there. Red ID. They're number one. They're been in every war. They're good. So
yeah, we're very proud of them.
Yeah, and so so how's things in Manhattan? Did it get cool up there yesterday and the day before?
Well, yes, and I tell you what, that first day of fall sure felt it, and we sure do enjoy it. The kids are wearing jackets in the morning. It got a little cool, and it's kind of good. We just need a little bit of moisture here to kind of get us pushed into this change of season.
Well, it falls upon us. I was looking at the very long Ranger, and we're going to be in the 90s, and then towards next Thursday or Friday, we're going to dip down in the 70s. So fall's here, and I'm ready for it. And
yes, sir.
And peanut harvest is people are dusting in their wheat right now. Not a lot of moisture around here. The hurricanes have been going to the east of us, but they're putting it in. So when it does rain, and hopefully it doesn't rain real hard, we'll have some early wheat pasture down in this area. And then peanut harvest is here. Cotton is blooming. I'm seeing lots of white bolls around here. There's all kinds of crops growing around here if you're not familiar with this area.
Well, that's good. I've used a lot of cottonseed product out of that country down there. That's pretty good. The old traditional hard press, that's some pretty good product that we use with our beef producers there along the southern tier of counties that I've used in the past.
Well, there's a, let's see, what was it? Year before last, I went pheasant hunting up there by Greensburg, and I was caught way off guard. There's actually a lot of cotton grown right in that area now.
There is. It's amazing. In fact, we're looking down the road here to do some research with some of that product. I love cottonseed hulls for starting calves.
Yep.
But that stuff, like it's like gold, and it just doesn't transport very much. You just can't make it fit. But it's yeah. It certainly is an ideal ingredient for starting calves.
Yeah, I remember growing up how many, you know, there was a cotton gin right here in Elk City where I grew up at. And, man, you just see those trucks with cottonseed hulls flying out the back, cotton debris, you know, just flying up the top. And they was hauling it out to some farmer, said, sure, you can dump that on me. And then you go out there a couple days later, there'll be a pile of cows, whether they're cows and calves or both. Just circled around that pile, just eating her to the ground.
Yep, and good stuff.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's very high in protein and a lot of. When I was working in South Texas in the wool field down there, there's some biologists on those big ranches that I were working on, and they would. They said cottonseed was their number one ingredient for those high fences for whitetail and elk, and you know they'd. A deer would be at its max size in 3 years, where it takes six in the normal outdoor. So they use it a lot for everything.
Yep.
So, well, reading that article, we'll get into it a little bit before we have to take a break. But at your K-State beef or the KSU beef stocker unit, that article I read that you guys were doing some experimentals out there and taking all kinds of stuff. Fill us in a little bit on what you guys were actually doing there.
Well, Jimmy, the long story short is we've been conducting a lot of research the last 4 or 5 years looking at limit feeding. And it's kind of funny because I did some research trying to figure out where limit feeding actually begun, and I talked to a couple fellow researchers around the country, and it's an old boy by the name of Dr. Bob Lake, and he was a nutritionist for Hitch Feeders in Hooker, Oklahoma. And there's actually a report from 1986 that he had written, and I just thought that was rather interesting, given I don't know how far Hooker is from you.
That's not too far.
Well, it was developed down in that country, and it was predominantly based on corn. He used a lot of corn in his diets, and one thing that's changed from when he was doing it is that we're relying a lot heavier on corn byproducts, whether it's corn gluten feed or the wet distillers, and it works because we're not dealing with the amount of starch in the diets. We're feeding a lot of highly digestible fiber from the production of, you know, for the ethanol or for the soda pop that the corn gluten feed is used for. And anyway, we're able to get these calves started on feed after arrival. And basically, in about 5 days period of time, we're getting them up to 2.2% of body weight by feeding a high-energy, high-digestible diet in a limit-fed fashion. So we restrict the intake of these calves to 2.2% of their body weight. And with our initial work, we're getting about 2.25 pounds daily gain from that. And it works well. I mean, it's a great strategy. It's something that I've indicated that people have known about for a long time. I certainly don't want to give anybody the false impression that we just discovered it. We haven't. We just merely refined it and have really dig deep into it in terms of what it can do for our producers today.
Well, that what kind of helped explain what you actually had going out there, as far as did you do something else right next to them? Did you do a bunch of comparison with different stockers, lots of them, I guess is what I'm trying to say?
Well, yeah, what we've done a variety of studies, but specific to your question, what we're doing now is looking at the importance of shade for these calves, these black-hided, black Angus cattle. You know, coming in there in the peak of summer, there's quite an environmental challenge for these animals, as everybody appreciates. And so we're looking at the difference in, for example, water consumption. We're looking at cattle comfort, and we're looking at performance. We're seeing if we can, what the value is for shade for these calves that are being grown here in the middle of summer. And we got 1 year. We're shipping calves here on Monday. We'll be done with the first year, and we're coming back the next year. But we're measuring water consumption. We're using some pretty cool ear tag technology that measures rumination and activity, how much an animal actually walks inside of the pen environment. So we're looking at that, and we're comparing it to a traditional roughage-based diet that's about 40% roughage, half alfalfa and half prairie hay, versus our limit-fed diet that only has 13% roughage in it.
Well, that you hit on shade, and I love my cattle. I take care of my cattle. They got shade. They got water. I was driving south of here a couple weeks ago towards Hobart, which is down in Kiowa County, south towards Fort Sill, or going towards Fort Sill, and right there south of Sentinel. And I know you know don't know where I'm talking about, but my listeners do. And there was a guy that had a portable shade deal put up out there that actually looked like it rotated with the wind, and you couldn't fit another cow under that shade. I mean, it looked like they moved as the shade moved. And I think it's 100% important that cattle have shade, especially the black cows.
Well, I tell you, one time just driving, my wife's from Rocky Ford, Colorado, and one day we were driving by there in the middle of summer, and there was a telephone pole out there along the road there, and those animals were all head to tail, tracking along that 4 or 5 inches of shade.
Shade, yeah.
And I've got the picture to prove it, too. And so, yes, I think we really appreciate it. And we're looking at, with this limit feeding, we're seeing a dramatic reduction in the amount of manure being produced. And so we're trying to look at it from a sustainable, this whole issue of sustainability has really come front and forward here. And so we're trying to figure out how we can do a better job to for our producers to implement this technology, this feeding method of limit feeding, to do a better job of predicting performance on the cattle, doing a better job of early health detection, which really is there. When you're restricting intake on these calves, when the dinner bell rings and they don't come up to the bunk, something's going on. So I think it does a great service for helping our pen checkers identify these calves sooner and better in terms of helping them along if they need it. Also, with the grinding of roughage, I tell you, if you haven't looked at the drought monitor, those poor folks up there in eastern North Dakota through Montana, those poor folks are suffering. And we all suffer from one at one time or another in terms of our drought and people being short on feed. And this roughage, I got to tell you, I'm a ruminant nutritionist by training. And, you know, I'm trying to look at how we can minimize the amount of roughage that we need without creating any ruminal disturbances and causing any problems in these calves from acidosis or what have you. Because roughage is really a pain in the rear in terms of having it when you need it, then you have to grind it. And it's only partially digestible at best. I mean, it's a really a carrier, and then you get it in the manure and you haul it away. It's about half, 50% digestible versus grain or a co-product like wheat mids or something like distiller's grains. And you just got to haul it out in manure when you're all said and done. So we're looking at some different strategies to try to help people and become less reliant on the impacts of drought. And certainly this limit feeding is one way maybe to go about doing it.
Yeah, because I report on it every week on the drought because we just came out of a major one here in 2014, 2015, and it was the worst one for Texas Panhandle and Western Oklahoma and part of Kansas, southern part of Kansas. But, we feel their pain going on up there. And if people like you doing all these good things to figure stuff out would really help in long term of droughts, because we're going through a mini drought right now, and it's just a mini drought, but the DO is showing up in our area, but we'll get some rain hopefully, sure. But anyway, Professor, if you don't mind, I need to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk some more. I'd like to ask you a little bit about your electronic devices that you guys got tracking, if you don't mind, and some other stuff. And if you got yeah, cool. Well, I have a Professor Dale Blasi from K-State University on here, and you're listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, September 20th. 1,090 head were sold. 6 head of steers at 436 brought 181. 7 at 538 brought 145. 93 at 715 brought 155. 40 at 752 brought 153. 5 at 905 brought 140. 50. 5 head of heifers at 506 brought 132. 6 at 570 brought 133.50. 17 at 651 brought 146. 15 at 680 brought 129. 29 at 851 brought 133. Butcher cows were 34 to 74. Bred cows 700 to 14. Butcher bulls brought 77 to 95.50. Pairs were 1,200 to 1,260. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, I-40 exit 71 in Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right, we are back, and Professor Dale Blasi from K-State University is on the show with me today. And welcome back, Professor, if you don't mind me calling you Professor. I was in the military, so I try to do my respect thing. So,
well, I tell you what, with your viewers, your listenership, I don't know if that gives much credibility.
No, that's why I don't take live call-ins, because you don't know my friends. So, so now we do, if you guys got a question for the professor while he's on, text into the KECO Ag text line at 580-225-9697 if you got a question for him. But I was, before the we went to the break, you were we were talking about shade and all that, and you was talking about that telephone pole, and I've seen cattle line up next to a six wire barbed wire fence, and they stand by that fence with trying to use as much of the T-post and the wire as shade, and then there'll be another layer of cattle lay down in front of them and use those cows for shade. So I've seen some of that stuff you're talking about.
Yeah, and you know there's a high correlation with seeing jackrabbits wearing high top tennis shoes out in that country too.
yeah. There's some big jackrabbits around here. I'm not gonna lie, but and where you're from, there's jackrabbits too, if I remember right.
We can ride them. They're that big.
Yeah. Yes. There's. Have you ever put a saddle on one?
I tried one time.
And
it didn't work. It didn't cinch up very good.
Well, hopefully it was before cell phones and somebody didn't record you trying to do that. So,
yeah.
Well, I was reading on your bio, and that's the reason why I said before break, talk about your electronic. This is pretty cool about you. Since 1998, he has developed and evaluated information and management applications using handheld computers and individual animal electronic identification technologies for the beef industry. Thank you very much for your working on that, because it's come a long ways in the last, especially last 10 years.
It certainly has, Jimmy. It's unbelievable the degree of miniaturization, how they have been able to shrunk down some of these various sensors to do a lot of the various functions, and the mathematics that go behind the software that takes and generates the algorithms to tell you, you know, whether you're doing a heat check on mature cows with these ear tags, or in our case where we're following rumination activity, where by the jaw movement, these tags are actually able to detect that movement of a muscle through the ear and translate that into calculating rumination time.
Really? That's awesome.
Yes.
Well, I got it. I want to tell you a little story. I went to a feedlot here in Oklahoma, and I want to get your opinion on the response I got from there. So they took a pen of 100 calves, and they put electronic ear tags on them that monitors their temperature, body temperature, the whole nine yards. And then they put another pen right beside it and didn't have anything in there. And they did normal pen checks without the ear tags, just like the riders would do their normal two, three, four times, however many times a day that they do that. But on the other pen that they had the electronic devices in, after they did this for a while, you know, because they'd get alerts where one of these calves had their temperature was high and blah, 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 et cetera. But what they did after, and I can't remember exactly how long they did this, they said that it was almost as well just to do the pen checks without the ear tags. And this was an experiment. And then it was with the ones with the ear tags, because they moved those cattle around a lot more than they did the others, because they was getting, you know, high temperatures, and they wanted to get that calf up there and get it doctored and blah, blah, blah. And it was like, I think it said 0.1 or 0.01 pounds per difference in the gain per day between the calves, less with the calves with the ear tags, electronic ear tags, than the calves that were just over there in a pen by themselves being normal feedlot. What do you think?
Well, you know, there's nothing, you can't substitute a person that has good eyes for finding sick calves.
Right.
There's no two ways about that. Unfortunately, in our industry, you know, it's getting harder and harder to find reliable folks that that are dedicated to doing that.
You're so right.
Timely and, yep, and getting on top of stuff. On the other side of the coin, you have this technology, and it's not cheap. It's certainly not cheap, and that's always been a common factor since 1998, is trying to figure out how to implement this technology and take into account the cost and what's the return of the return on investment, the ROI, and it's really hard to punch it out and really justify it. I did a short call with some folks out of Australia here a couple weeks ago, and they're selling a particular tag, and they're selling 24 tags for $4,000 that can basically do GPS and everything. And I didn't have the heart to tell them that there wasn't anybody with a lick of common sense that would even, I can't figure out how you can run the numbers and figure out how to make it work, Jimmy.
Yeah.
So, you know, with time, technology comes down. We've seen it with our cell phones, and the capabilities and stuff. And, you know, we've done a little work with drone, using the small commercial available drones that consumers can buy, and we've tried to implement various softwares out there to do head counts on cattle, and perhaps even mounting an infrared camera on these drones so that you can pick up hot cattle, if you will, different temperatures. One of my former colleagues, he's long since retired. In fact, he's from Oklahoma. Dr. Mark Spire did some work 10 years ago or so looking at thermography and trying to apply that technology to early health detection. And had a pretty good system going, but these cameras at the time were about $80,000. And, you know, you try to figure out how to fit that into an existing operation, and it's ludicrous. It just, it's too darn expensive. You can't forego the good eyes and the sixth sense that some people have for pulling sick calves.
Yeah, and you know, I got to be part of a conversation a few years back, and they were showing these ear tags they were putting in cows, mama cows, and you could take your iPad and have your corner, you know, and if that cow got outside that corner, you knew your cattle were out, you know, and it saved you a trip, you know, if you're 10 miles, 15 miles away. And then it also showed a deal where this cow was standing over there in this one corner of the pasture away from the rest of them for more than 4 or 6 hours, which is abnormal. You know, maybe she's having a calf, maybe she's having trouble. And it would be great to be able to afford technology like that that could save, you know, your losing calves during the winter or whenever you're calving. It would be great to have that technology to not go check your cattle, but, you know, alarm goes off when your cow stood in one spot more than 4 hours, you know, stuff like that.
Right, exactly. And you know, there's other issues too with technology. You got to depend on batteries.
Yep.
In a lot of cases, and every time a person needs a flashlight at night, your flashlight batteries are shot. And technology, having durable equipment, you know, you indicated you were in the military. Well, there's a lot of, these laptop computers that are basically military compliant. You can bounce them 6 or 8 feet off the ground, and they don't break or shatter. But that comes with a price. To get something for producers that want to take it out there and use it in the dust and certainly with moisture and everything. And the normal stuff that you buy at Best Buy, that stuff just simply does not hold up.
No, it doesn't. And yeah, because I was in Desert Storm in the first war back then, and GPS, which they called it the Slugger, had just came out. Handheld GPS had just come out the previous year or two before Desert Storm, and riding around in the desert over Saudi and Iraq, he could pick out every commander in the military, or me, the U.S. Army. You could pick him out because he had that Slugger with his arms sticking out the Humvee, driving around trying to get a satellite to pick it up. It was pretty cool. So,
yeah.
But they, well, there's technology is in farming, it's changed farming and ranching so much. You know, I actually talked to one of your associate professors up there that you're associated with, Professor Griffin. You know, he was on my show a month or two ago, and we were talking about precision farming because it's come a long ways. And we had a pretty good conversation on technology with the farm part, but ranching the cattle part interests me a lot more because I don't farm big enough to have to worry about precision, but I know I got a lot of listeners out here that does. But your advancement in technology with cattle, with technology, is awesome from what I read. And like I said, I'll say it again, I appreciate your effort in trying to do that.
Well, and thank you. And we've got material, we got information, some stuff that we've used from this technology for research. And I just got in the mail here yesterday from FedEx International, these little boluses that we drop into the rumens. We have ruminally cannulated calves that we use to evaluate what happens inside of the rumen when the animal eats. And it measures and it transmits the pH in the rumen environment, about every 10 or 15 minutes. But those things cost $600 a piece. Ooh. Jimmy. Ooh. We're doing research, and we use this to generate good information to share with our peers and certainly with our beef producers throughout the country to help them. And we want to make sure when we make recommendations, heck, even my colleagues down at Oklahoma State, we're always looking at how we can help producers. But we want to make sure when we make recommendations, we know the implications and the consequences down. For example, starting calves and worrying about what we might be doing to the rumen of those calves before they get into the feed yard, that's important for us to know.
Oh, big time. Yeah, that rumen has basically, that's the backbone of your cow. Am I correct or not?
Well, it certainly helps us convert the cellulose out there, and, you know, it works. It's the digestive organ, and if we burn that rumen and we hurt the rumen papillae, you know, you get into the feed yard environment, then we start to get liver abscesses and all those sorts of things that really hammer the animal's performance, and then also you got the impact on the quality of the meat.
Hey, I just had a brilliant idea, and you don't know me that well, but I usually come up with some really good stuff. And so you were talking earlier about saddling up one of the jackrabbits there in Colorado.
Right.
And you were talking, then you just got through saying something just a few minutes ago about battery life and technology. So I want you to try this out for me if you can. So I want you to strap on a mini wind tower to turn while the cattle's walking to charge that battery in that ear tag. Would that work?
I don't know.
Maybe I'll
contact our congressman up there in D.C. and maybe they could send some money down this way for us to look at that.
Wouldn't that be cool to look at out there in the pen and there's 100 steers, black steers, walking around with these little wind towers on top of them?
There you go.
Professor, thank you so much. I'm running a little bit short on time now, and thank you so much for coming on. And keep me in mind if something changes with the technology that you think would be interesting for my listeners. You got my email. Send me an email, and we'll get you back on the show because you were really great to talk to, and I appreciate your time.
And, Jimmy, I got to tell you, you and your viewership, your listenership, to go to ksubeef.org, and I'll tell you what, we got a pretty good stalker field day next Thursday on September the 30th here in Manhattan. And it's going to be a heck of a show this year. We went virtual last year because of the Rona, because of the Wuhan virus.
Yeah.
But we're going to have a good program. We're going to have a lot of good beef. And we're even going to have a nut fry in the afternoon after the program.
Oh, I'm going to see if I can get somebody to do my show, because Aaron Cout and I are headed that way, because we do like our calf fries. And actually, and it's funny you bring that up, and I appreciate you bringing that up. Our OSU friends are going to be having one out here at the Clemmie OSU field range the next day, right out here. Same thing.
Well, good.
So anyway,
great.
Dr. Dale Beck, he'll be out there. But anyway, so again, thank you for your time, and thank you so much for being on today.
Yeah, thank you, Jimmy, and best wishes to your listeners.
All right, you too. Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye. Well, that was Professor Dale Blasi from K-State University with a lot of great information. I hope you guys all enjoyed that. We're going to take a break, and when I come back, we got the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger Forecast. Be right back.
When we're all on the same page, things run smoother, work gets completed faster, life is easier. And that's exactly what advanced technology from Valley does. IconX brings all of your pivots together into one manageable network with full remote capabilities, regardless of the brand. Get the most out of your pivots at a fraction of the cost of a full panel upgrade. Valley IconX. Any brand of pivot. One connected network. Smart irrigation. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
It's so convenient for farmers and ranchers to get what you need in one place. The Wheeler General Store is the do-it-best hardware store that carries vet supplies to doctor your animals, high-pro feed, also master hand milling and smart lick tubs. Delivery is available if you need it. And at Wheeler Ag, right there on site, they've got dry fertilizer application with blending capabilities. Wheeler General Store and Wheeler Ag on Highway 152, a mile east of the four-way stop in Wheeler, Texas.
You can also find the Wheeler General Store on Facebook and Instagram.
This hour's weather is brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Complete nutrition for every animal. That's what you'll find at High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Check them out on Facebook and online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I'm back. I got a text from the Bobby Martin out there. He was saying it's good to listen to you today while sowing. So he's out there sowing wheat. And I did get a report from the Sweetwater area that they were about half done with their sowing, wheat, rye, Truticale, whatever they're putting in the ground out there. So everybody's getting ready for that rain that's not coming this week. So anyway, there's no rain in the forecast. Hopefully next Tuesday when Lacey gets back from messing around in Colorado, she'll have us some good news. I see there's some hurricanes or tropical storms brewing out in Atlanta, but it doesn't look like none of them is headed towards Corpus or Houston where we need it. The Long Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. Right now it is 81 degrees. Heat index is 79. Wind south 18 miles an hour, gusting up to 23 miles an hour. I got to go pick up a couple of hydraulic hoses down here at Midwest Farm Supply. Mr. Speaker's hooking me up with a couple hoses that I had spraying hydraulic oil underneath the tractor the other day going to the front end loader. High today is 85. High tomorrow is 89. Winds will be out of the south at 8 to 14 tomorrow. Saturday looks like it's going to be 90, but calm winds. And that'd be great for that Greg Newton Memorial Golf Tournament headed going on over at Sayre. I think they got a couple spots left if anybody wants to get into that. It's a great event going on over there for him. We lost him here a few months ago. So anyway, go show your support for him by going playing in that golf tournament. Sunday is 91 degrees. Monday, 91. Looks like after tomorrow, the winds are going to be calm. I looked at the real, real long ranger, and there's a chance of rain towards the end of next week if the forecast holds. And so, and then the temperatures are going to be high in the 70s. So fall is here, and bow season is getting closer. Tomorrow, I'm going to have a wildlife biologist from Oklahoma State University on here with us tomorrow, and we're going to be talking about some food plots, farming and wildlife, the whole nine yards. So don't miss tomorrow. He'll be just as good as Professor Blasi was today. Well, the big old new Penny News come out today, and on the front page, big old, almost a half a page, the North Fork chapter of Quail Forever 7th Annual Banquet and Auction is next Thursday, September 30th at 6 p.m. at the Elks Lodge. If you got any questions or you want to buy tickets, just go get on North Fork Quail Forever's Facebook page, and there's a link on there for events and buy your tickets. You will need to buy them online. We've sold out the last 2 years and have not sold any at the door. So don't wait till the last minute if you want to attend this. And we're still accepting sponsors. If anybody wants to sponsor, the sponsors are on that tab. Or you can go to quailforever.org and get on events and look for the North Fork Quail Forever 7th Annual Banquet. And then there's some, be glad to see you guys over there next Thursday. And then you open up the new Penny News to page 4 and page 5. Today in Ag, exclusive pages. All my sponsors are in there. My Jimmy tip of the week was don't go bale hay 10 miles away without any bale wrap. I know somebody personally that happened to, so it's kind of humorous. It's a big deal. I'm telling you guys, you got to go pick up a copy of this and read Jerry Nine's comments in here. That I wasn't allowed to read the last couple paragraphs on air, so it's pretty humorous. You need to check it out. And Hobart Livestock Auction was actually going on yesterday, and I got a little bit of information for you on his report, Rex Fleming. They had steers weighing somewhere around average weight was 431, bringing as much as $1.79. They had some steers in the 700 to 800 pound range, average weight at 738, brought as much as $1.34.50. And then we had some heifers weighing 400 to 500, average weight 472, brought up to $1.45. And then they had some heifers weighing 800 pounds to 900, average weight 846, was bringing up to $1.03. Had some cows, butcher cows, looks like, bringing 1,000 pounds and over, average weight 1205, brought up to a dollar. Must have been some good ones. Their average price was $62.50, though. Bull, they had one bull in there that looked like it was average $17.40, brought up to $91.50. And so, anyway, they had looked like they had a pretty good sale in there Wednesday. This Friday will be the Elk City Livestock Auction. Monday, the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction at Clinton. Anybody's got any cattle they need to sell, bring her on. Call Mr. Brandon Hickey, and he will help you with your buying or selling needs. And we had I hope you guys enjoyed today. We had a great show. And also, one more thing. Shamrock Livestock Boosters are going to have a goat roping contest over there at Shamrock, Texas. I'm sure Bobby Martin will be over there and that involved in that deal, because I'm sure he'll play some golf before getting into his goat roping. But it's October 9th. The books will open at 5 p.m. Roping starts at 6 at the Dalton O'Gorman Arena. Concession stand will be available. So anyway, that's a Shamrock October 9th goat roping contest. So anyway, you guys have a blessed day, and God bless you.